Hallelujah. What I'm teaching on, unbelievably, is to not be nervous. Isn't that awesome? Okay. All right. If you see the title of the message tonight, Stress or Peace and Rest, you get to choose. Okay. It's the truth. You get to choose. I looked up some scriptures. I did do that. I looked up the word stress in the Webster's Dictionary, and I'll just give you a little taste of it. I think the part that mostly points to what we need to know tonight. And Webster describes stress as a mentally or emotionally disruptive or disquieting influence. Distress, to subject to pressure or strain. Then I looked at peace. And I didn't look up rest, but you'll get that from the scriptures. And peace is defined as the absence of war or other hostilities, freedom from quarrels and disagreement, harmonious relations, inner contentment, calm, peaceable, and undisturbed. So you got two choices here. Stress or peace. I don't know which one you think you would rather have. I think I choose the latter, because stress is something I deal with, and I think all of us deal with a lot. It's unpleasant, but there is a way to deal with it. It's always in God. Amen? And I want to read to you from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and Jesus was telling us about the future. Now, we know that we're in end times, right? I think everybody here's been in church long enough to know that we are in end times. And if you turn on the news and you pay a lot of attention to it, it's going to bring the first thing we talked about, stress. But if you're like me, you're going to listen to it sometimes. But as Pastor has told us over and over, don't just flood yourself with this news, because it is stressful. And you got to have a way to deal with that. And the best way to do it is just not focus on the news all the time. I mean, if you're like me, you want to know what the weather may be doing the next day. You may want to know if there's some great event that's taking place, whether it was good or bad, just kind of keep up a little bit. But seriously, if you focus on it too much, it will bring depression or oppression on you. So, but this is what, as Jesus was leaving the temple that day, now I'm reading from, guess what, The Rock. Our Pastor Rock, and I got this Bible called The Rock. And the disciples were talking to Jesus. It says, as he was leaving the temple that day, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at these tremendous buildings. Look at the massive stones in the wall." Jesus replied, "These magnificent buildings will be so completely demolished that not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the slopes of the Mount of Olives across from the valley from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, "When will all this take place? And will there be a sign ahead of time to show us when all this will be fulfilled?" And Jesus replied, Don't let anyone mislead you, because many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah. They will lead many astray, and wars will break out near and far, but don't panic. Yes, these things must come to an end, but the end won't follow immediately. Nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other. And you know that's so already. That's always been a thing. And there will be earthquakes in many parts of the world. Now, how do you know that's intensified here in the last year or two? And famines also. But all this will only be the beginning of the horrors to come. But when these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be hand it over to the courts, and I've read too much, but I'll finish this one out, and beaten in the synagogues. Now, we know that overseas, a lot of people are already prosecuted for serving the Lord and speaking out about the goodness of God and salvation and just actually attacked because of their beliefs. And it's already happening in the United States. We know that. So this was just a little prelude of what God was trying to show us, so we would know when we start seeing all these things, we're close to the return of Jesus. And we really are, because there didn't used to be this many earthquakes. And if you listen to him, if you go on YouTube, and I don't know where else you get him, I just watch YouTube a lot, Hank Kuhneman, he's a prophet and a minister and a pastor, and he says, this year keep your eyes on the waters. If you'll notice, we've had a lot more flooding in the United States. But waters also represent the Holy Spirit. As some things are going forth, God's pouring out His Spirit in other ways, and He's going to watch over us. Amen? Okay, I'll just bear with me. Ha ha! Okay. Now, so we know that a lot of this stuff that we hear and see on the news, or even, you know, things happen around our neighborhood and things that we might see that gets ugly sometimes, and it can cause us stress. But there is a way out of stress, and it's the anchor, the hope of glory, Jesus. If you look at Hebrews 6:19, and I apologize, some of these translations, once I printed them out, it didn't show which part, which book, Bible I was reading from. So just look in your scriptures if you want to move along. Read along with me. I'm going to get my tongue straight in a minute. And it will give you the gist of what I'm saying now. So Hebrews 6:19. This hope, and in parentheses, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul. Listen to this. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the holy temple, that most holy place, in the very presence of God. Amen? Amen. And then in John 12:46, he says, I have come as a light. This is Jesus talking. I've come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes and trusts in me as Savior, all those who anchor in their hope in me and rely on the truth of my message will not continue to live in darkness. So Jesus is our anchor. So we have an anchor in the midst of the storms. Amen? Now I want to talk to you a little bit about something personal. Me and Derek used to fish a lot. We haven't done it so much lately, but we'd go out to the river or other places. And in the river, you know, there's always a pretty strong current. And we'd go fishing, and we'd find a spot that we liked. Well, we'd drop down an anchor to hold us in place. That's what we have to do in life. The anchor, Jesus, holds us in a place where we want to be. If I went fishing and I started catching fish and I didn't have my anchor down, the next thing I know, we're on down the stream some, and we've missed that place where they were biting earlier. We weren't held in place because the anchor wasn't out. But we have an anchor that holds true for us. Amen? Okay. Now, I'm mixing these up a little bit. I tried to do the best I can. So remember the title of my message, Stress, Rest, or Peace. Okay, so this one is talking about peace, Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek, inquire for, and crave peace. Pursue it. Go after it. So we want peace and we want rest. And if we can have peace, we can have some good rest. But we have to pursue it ourselves. It's not something that's just going to fall out from heaven on top of us. The Bible says pursue it. And Romans 5:3-5, there's more to come. Now listen, this is another way we deal with some of these things. We continue to shout our praise, even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Now, if you've ever seeing these blacksmiths, they take heat to mold hard steel and metals, okay? So like they forge their metals, God forges patience in us with the trials that we go through, okay? So in alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Okay, and one of the things, I tried to look something up and I couldn't find it in any manner that would give us the time we needed. So I want to talk to you just for a minute about pipes and how they're manufactured. When a company goes to build the pipes that water or air or gas flows through, they have to go under these rigid tests to make sure that they'll hold up, because if the whatever they're using, whether it's PVC or some type of metal, copper, whatever, when they check it by putting pressure on it, and the more pressure it is put on it, the more the holes in the pipe, if they are holes there, they're revealed. And a lot of times, if the metal or the PVC or whatever is not good, it'll just start breaking apart and they'll get holes coming all in it. Well, we don't want any holes in our gas lines and we don't want any holes in our water pipes. But when the pressure is on, sometimes that's when stuff starts being revealed. And I know for myself, I know for myself, when I get under a lot of pressure, my personality don't always hold up quite as well as you might see it sometimes. So we know that God will relieve the pressure when we stay focused on Him, because He's our what? He's our anchor. And there was one more scripture under this, and this is in the Message, James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it a sure gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. My colors are not always that great. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Okay. Now, when we overcome some of these trials, we have peace because we made it through it. Just like when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and He passed all those tests where the enemy come at Him and said, you know, bow down before Me and cast yourself down from the pinnacle and all this stuff. But every time He would come back with the Word of God. And when it was over and done with, the angels came and ministered to Him. Well, when we pass tests, angels minister to us. I will tell you the truth. This is something that happened to me, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was working in an office environment, and I thought I was doing a good job. I was growing, and I was there, and they would brag on me, and they liked me, and I guess they liked my personality, and I guess sometimes the people would come in, and if they were upset and I could see it, I would minister to them, and they received it. And, I mean, this didn't happen all the time, and I wasn't wasting time or anything like that, but I thought I was doing a good job. And the next thing I know, they hired somebody else also and told me that it wasn't to replace me, but it was to help us, because we had tons and tons of people coming in and out of the office all day. And as I said before, I thought I was doing pretty good, but the next thing I know, every time I turned around, I was in the office getting chided a little bit, I guess is the word you could use. I don't know for a better word. Kind of got in trouble every so often and started to bring out some stress in me. And so I just kept pressing on because I couldn't afford to quit, and I didn't want to give up, and I'd pray about it and all. Well, the next thing I know, I'm out the door. I was let go. But, you know, it wasn't very long after that. I don't know if any of you remember Bruce Weaver that came in from North Carolina. He didn't know me, and I didn't know him. I was up there, and I said, oh, we got a visitor. Well, when it was praise and worship was over and service was over, I went to speak to him just to welcome him and tell him we're glad to have you. And when he took my hand, he started prophesying over me. And one of the things he said to me, I'll never forget it, he said, you have passed this test. Now, if you don't think that brought some peace to me, it was peace because I had struggled with that thing. And honestly, sometimes now it still comes back to bite at me a little bit, but that's been years and years ago, so that's my fault that I let that come at me. So when we go through something, hold out, don't jump, just let God do what He's going to do. And just like I didn't do anything there, I just kept on. And then God came and ministered to me. From North Carolina. So I'm telling you, I'll never forget it. And when God does minister to us, it brings peace. And I have just a few scriptures on peace. I have a lot, but I won't give them all to you. And one of them, and this peace is for each of us. It's for all the children of God. So if you're born again, and I know everybody in here is, it's for us, amen? Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And there's so many more on peace. In fact, if you want some of them, I printed out one thing I did when I went to print these out. I hardly ever get on the computer, and I didn't highlight the ones I wanted, so I got like probably 10 pages at home. Some of them didn't even have anything to do with what I wanted to say. But I've got a lot of scriptures on peace, and I think Wanda brought out some of these recently. So it tells me that God's wanting His children to walk in, live in peace. Amen? And here's another one. Philippians 4:7, and you all know this one. It's just worded a little different, maybe. And God's peace, which is far beyond the human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. Now, all these things, if we walk in them, it brings a rest to us. And then I want to talk to you about rest. I hope I'm not skipping anything. But this is what Hebrews 4 says, and it's 1 through, I don't remember, but they should be up there. So just bear with me, y'all. Okay, this is about the believer's rest. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still remains and is freely offered today, let us fear in case anyone may seem to come short of reaching it, or think he's come too late. For indeed we've had the good news of salvation preached to us, just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not united with faith in God by those who heard. For we who believe, that is, we who personally trust, confidently rely on God, enter the rest, so we have His inner peace now because we're confident in our salvation. Now, I want to ask you this. Some of you may say, like me sometimes, well, I think I got part of that, but I sure hadn't got this part. I want you to raise your hand if you're born again. See, I already knew this. I knew everybody in this room was born again. You had faith to get saved. So you're saved. So you exercised your faith there. So He said, because we're confident in our salvation and assured of His power. So if we're confident in our salvation, we can be confident in all the promises of God. And in Genesis 2:3, so God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it as His own. That is, He set it apart as holy from the other days, because in it He rested from all His work which He had created and done. So even God took a rest. But He's trying to get, if God the Father creator of the entire universe, every living thing, can take a rest and tells us to take a rest, why wouldn't we? And Hebrews 4 and 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. That's why I titled this like I did, It's Our Choice. It's not going to just happen. We've got to search the scriptures. We've got to pray. We've got to trust God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't always trusted God in everything. And I can't say that something won't come up again where I get fearful or shaky or nervous. But those scriptures remain true whether I hold to them or not. So they're always for us. And if we'll stay in them and on them, we can have the rest God wants us to have. Hebrews 6:19, I'm going back to this now. I didn't realize I was getting through this fast, but it'll be all right. Hallelujah. I'm get out of here. No, I'm kidding, y'all. I love y'all. I just was a little skittish about this. Okay, Hebrews 6:19. I want to go back to this. This hope, confident assurance, we have as an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe, y'all, and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. Now, I'll throw something else out there before I finish up with these last few scriptures. Derek's been out of town, and I'm not normally a skittish person. I walk the dog at night. Sometimes I'm walking her at 1 o'clock in the morning. And under normal circumstances, I'm not nervous about it at all. But for some reason, the enemy attacked me when I found out he was going to be out of town. If he's in the bed asleep, didn't matter. But and I even if I couldn't have woke him up, didn't matter. I knew he was there. But since he's been out of town, and I know Bonnie knows what I'm talking about, the enemy tried to attack me with fear. So I asked a few people to pray over me, you know. And I tell you the truth. The first week, now this is the second week, but the first week he was gone, man, I don't know when I've slept that good. Go figure. So God wanted to make sure that I was in peace and woke up feeling better than normal. You know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I wake up and I feel like I never went to bed. I mean, but I rested well. And I know some of that's due to prayers and my prayers, but I give the glory to God. He was looking out after me. Now, here's some scriptures. There's just one scripture. Now, I got two more, but I got one two times. I want you to listen to this. When you got, if you're listening to the news and you start getting fearful or anxious, Isaiah 33:6, amplified. And he will be the security and stability of your times, a treasure of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is your treasure. So we know that we shouldn't get fearful of the Lord like, oh, he's got a big stick and he's going to beat us over the head, or he's fixing to send a hurricane and I'm going to be gone. No, it just means to reverence him and know that he's over everything and walk in his ways the best you can. Now that same scripture, Isaiah 33:6 in the New King James Version, I want you to listen to just a little bit of difference in this. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. In the other one, it was your treasure. In this one, it's his treasure. I love that. So if we walk in him and seek after him and follow after peace and pursue it, he will give us rest in stressful times. Amen? And this is the last scripture. Psalms 37:11. And I just want you to listen to this, children of God. Before you know it, the wicked will have had it. You'll stare at his once famous place and nothing. Down to earth, people will move in, take over, relishing a huge bonanza. So if we stick with God and don't get weary in well-doing and just hold on to the anchor of hope, Christ Jesus, we're going to see what happens with the wicked, but we'll be safe in the hiding place. Amen? Now, everybody, I hope somebody got something out of that. Everybody always tells all these little jokes before they speak. Well, not everybody, but a lot of times, and I love that. I love that. But I want to read something to you that to me was funny, but it's not a joke. Okay? Keep your foot on the devil's neck. This is by Jesse Duplantis. How many of you know him? Me and Derek both love Jesse. And I just want you to read this little thing that he wrote. He's talking about putting the enemy under your feet, and that's what we're supposed to do. He said, "My grandfather was a giant of a man with a great sense of humor. It was always so much fun to be around him. I remember him lifting me high in the air with the palm of his huge hand as he helped me to pick oranges from the tree. When I was very young, around 6 years old, he invited me to walk with him to the chicken coop to get a chicken for supper. I was very unsuspecting, and I didn't notice the little hatchet that he held in his hand." Okay, it gets better though. "After we closed the gate, Grandpa told me to shoo a chicken into the corner. Now, this was not an easy job for a six-year-old, but I loved my Grandpa, and I did anything he asked. He waited patiently until I finally said, 'Okay, Grandpa, I have one of these chickens in the corner.' Grandpa came from behind me and grabbed that chicken. In an instant, he put his foot on the chicken's neck, and he chopped its head off." Ugh. Okay, with the hatchet. That's kind of icky, but anyway, it gets better. "Then Grandpa reached down and grabbed that chicken and threw it at me. I was terrified. Everywhere I ran, that dead chicken followed me, with its bloody neck sticking up and his wings flapping in the air. My grandpa got the biggest kick out of seeing me run from that dead chicken. He said, 'Jesse, that chicken can't hurt you. He's dead.' He said, 'I know. He doesn't know it, Grandpa. He thinks he's alive.'" You know, seriously, they will move around after they're really gone. "Then all of a sudden, that chicken stopped flopping his wings and fell down dead. After seeing this, I became very brave and boldly kicked that dead chicken as hard as I could." Good timing, huh? "Grandpa told me, 'Jesse, as soon as I cut that chicken's head off, he was dead. But you thought he was still alive and was scared because of what you saw.' Let me tell you something. The devil has been destroyed. Jesus bruised his head and kicked his brains out on the cross at Calvary. Many Christians think the devil still has power because of what they see. He's running around the earth. He's flapping his wings at the church. And Christians are calling on God to save them from this dead chicken. He's already defeated." So I hope you got something. Hallelujah. The chicken's dead. The devil's defeated. Hallelujah.